Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. God is always loving. God is always gracious. God is love. God is always merciful. God is always good, and the devil is always busy and meddling, and Jesus Christ always saves. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is our foundational passage for this series, as I will continue to preach and teach on how to overcome temptation. Why not teach and preach on temptation every week, since you're tempted every day? And some of us have been tempted and have yielded to the temptations, and our lives are in shambles because of it. How to Overcome Temptation, Part 148, Dealing with the Ugly Sin of Pride. Pride, the sin that God hates the most. I saw a story yesterday, and even a story today, about a Christian woman. And isn't it interesting that the key word for the homosexual community is pride? Pride. The sin that God hates the most, pride. Onward, Christian soldiers, discipleship class number 272. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said Paul's third warning was that God can enable us to overcome temptation if we heed his word. God permits us to be tempted because he knows how much we can take. He knows how much we can take. And he always provides a way to escape if we will trust him and obey him and take advantage of the way of escape. The believer who thinks he can stand may fall, but the believer who flees from sin and temptation, by the grace of God, the way of escape, will be able to stand. Now turn in your Bibles to the passage that we are looking at today. Psalm chapter 10, verses 2 through 6. The wicked in his pride doeth persecute the poor. The wicked in his pride doeth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts or her thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He saith, or rather he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Holy Father God, at all times, I know that the proud, even in the church, do not want to hear this, but at all times we need your help. We need your leadership. We need your guidance. We need your strength. We need your might, especially when we are proclaiming your holy word and your holy gospel. And so, Holy Father God, I recognize and I acknowledge, Lord, my weakness and my weaknesses, and how that I am not 100% physically being a little bit weary. But Lord, I thank you for how you make up the difference. Lord, help me to get my rest. But when it's time to preach, Lord, at the same time, help me to depend upon you. And so, Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your goodness, your mercy, your love, your constant grace. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings you bestowed upon us. Holy Father God, we come, all of us, before your throne of grace. We individually, collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those, Lord, who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. For none of us can function without your unction, not only me. Lord, the dear people who are helping with broadcasting this preaching service, teaching service around the world. Lord, they need your strength as well as I do. We all need your strength to do our part, even if it's giving a cold glass of water to the prophet. Lord, fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray together that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas. For unfortunately, we realize, based upon your holy word, we have an enemy who does not like anything about you, does not like your word, does not like your word going forth, does not like your gospel, and he does not like the people who proclaim your gospel. And Lord, these are realities that we must accept, and so, because they're based upon your holy word. Place upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us all with the band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. And once again, Lord, help us not to take you or this service or this time or the thousands of folks who are gathering on right now for granted. But Lord, we pray that you would empty us of ourselves, crush and crucify our flesh, and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness, the unction, and the anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And take, Lord, would at best, that which would be at best mediocre, Lord, and make it into something very powerful and alive. and that will change the lives of the people through the gospel for those who are not saved, and for revival and renewal of the saints for those who are. And Lord God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would afresh and anew cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness. Lord, out of the hearts and minds and lives of people who have the Judas spirit and the Sanballat Tobias spirit of hindrance. These people who say with their mouths that they're with us, but they really are deep down in their devilish hearts against us. They demonically hate the proclaiming of the gospel. They demonically hate the preaching of the gospel. They demonically hate the fact that in our earlier service today, we had over 5,000 devices tuning in, no telling how many people, with watch parties. They hate things going smoothly, decently, and in order. This is a demonic spirit, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ once again that you cast it out so that your gospel can go through freely, so that those who are lost will understand it, that you will be able to open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls, and change their lives. Glorify your holy name. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Rick Warren said, pride builds walls between people. Isn't that true? Not only in churches, but in families. Not only in families, not only in churches, but in communities. Not only in communities, but in cities. Not only in cities, but in states. Not only in states, but in nations. Not only in nations, but in the world. Pride. This is the reason why God hates pride so much in your life and in my life. Pride builds walls between people. You know why there are so many divorces? You guessed it. Pride. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to do what I am supposed to do. Pride and selfishness, they go hand in hand. We have adults acting like children because of demonic pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, teenage rebelliousness, and selfishness. Only, it's all about you. It's all rooted in pride. And then Dr. Warren says, on the other hand, humility builds bridges. Humility keeps marriages and families together. Humility builds churches and keeps churches together and keep them from splitting. Humility. See, here's what, and I know you rebellious cats don't like it, but here's what humility will do, because in every situation you have authority. When the authority, whether the authority is wrong or not, says we're going to go in this direction, then the person who is under authority should be humble and accept it and move on. And trust who? Trust the leader? No, trust God. And start praying to God if you disagree with the direction. But keep your mouth shut and keep your mouth off of the authority figure and don't talk back to the authority figure, and that's going to take humility. In every situation you have authority, in the family, in the church, in the city, when you're driving down the street and the police pulls you over, you got to humble yourself. No matter how much of a big time operator you think you are, you've got to humble yourself to that officer, because he's in charge at that moment. And if he asks you to give him your paperwork, you need to give it, or tell him you don't have it, or whatever. But you need to submit and be humble. And yes, that's right, I don't care if he's black or white or red or yellow, if he tells you those frightening words, Mr. Adams, step out of the car. Mr. Adams, you need to step your behind out of the car with the quickness and without any crazy moves. I don't care if he's white, black, red, or yellow. If he tells you those scary words, put your hands behind your back, you're under arrest. You need to humble yourself down and put your hands behind your back. And you're going to be under arrest, and just take it. Now, and then be quiet. Don't be running off at the mouth, and do not run with your hands behind your back. Don't resist. Humble yourself. And you, if you disagree with the officer, then you can take care of that down at the jail or down at the court when they give you a chance to call your lawyer. And then you will live to talk about it another day, because it may not be that big of a deal. It may be that he didn't see something or didn't know something. You might be right, but whatever, you need to be alive so that you can prove that you're right. See, that's, even if you don't have wisdom, this is what I tell people all the time, and I've told my family members this, even if you don't have wisdom, at least be smart. Amen, somebody. Even if you don't have wisdom, may God help you. And I can't give you wisdom. Nobody can. No book can give you wisdom other than the Bible, but you still got to pray and ask God to give you wisdom. But even if you don't have wisdom, you need to humble down and be smart, people. Don't be stupid. You need to remain calm. Calm your nerves. Let it be. And most times, be you black or white or red or yellow, most times, if you remain calm and you're humble and you do what the officer tells you to do, he's going to probably let you go with a warning and go let you say, he's going to take, go get your stuff together now. Okay, now get your stuff together by this date, and then you won't have to go to court. Don't tell me they won't do it. Yes, sir, officer. I'm not saying yes, sir. I'm not. Why not? Why are you so insecure you can't say yes, sir, to somebody older than you or somebody in authority over you? Most of you can't do it because you've never been taught that. See, we were taught that when we were growing up. You respect your elders. You respect the officer. We were never told growing up, don't do what the officer tells you to do. We were never told something so stupid. That's right. Even if you know you got warrants, You have warrants. Just go ahead on and just handle it. You don't know what God might do for you. But don't run. Don't resist. Don't be disrespectful. You don't have to do that. I don't care where you are. And I will add that it's easier for people who know Jesus. I will say that. Those of us who we didn't know Jesus, we would probably be dead too. But the Jesus on the inside of us tells us to be quiet and be humble and be respectful and let it be. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this message series, some would call a Bible study. Welcome, by the way, to the Onward Christian Soldiers Bible class. Been going on for a long time. And we specialize in this class on dealing with issues like this, temptation, which is a big issue for young Christians, middle-aged Christians, and older Christians. We're tempted. And you will not stop being tempted until you're dead, by the way. I found that out since I'm turning 60 soon. I know I don't look it, but it's okay. We are looking at a passage, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms that condemns the pridefully wicked. Here David shows us the sad state of the proud man. First of all, the wicked in his pride persecutes and takes advantage of the poor. See, when you are that evil, pride is behind it. When you take advantage of the poor, your aim in life is to keep the poor down and for you to be rich. Being hateful, being prejudiced, being a racist, have no desire because of your pride to help people up. You want to put your knee on their neck and keep them down. There's something wrong somewhere. Red, yellow, black, and white. We all struggle with this sin of pride, which is the sin that God hates the most. This is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. This is the sin that caused us to be catching hell today as human beings. This is why some of you have not prospered in life and you have not accomplished anything worthwhile for the glory of God in your life because you're proud and God refuses to use you. Watch this. God refuses to bless your life. God refuses to show you favor and cause other people and other human beings, sinful human beings, to show you favor. And if you don't get that going from God, dear friend, you're not going to succeed in life. I don't care how man-made, self-made you are. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care how many degrees you have, how much education you have. You're not going to do well in life, and things are not going to end up well for you if you are proud as the devil. You're going to waste your life that God gave you because God's not going to bless it. And the blessings include favor. I cannot explain favor to you, but you better have it. And you know it when you have it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. See, favor is that thing that when the people see you in an interview or you're applying for a house, a loan, or whatever you're doing, and you're not supposed to get it because you don't have all your ducks in a row. But something happens. I can't explain it to you. It is like magic, but it's not magic. They see you as a different individual. They see you differently. And before you even finish eating, they tell you, you know what? I like you. You got the job. You know what? We already did. I already have my secretary working up the paperwork for you to get that house. And then you start saying, well, you know what? What about this? What about? Yeah, I know all about it. But I just, it's just something. Something's telling me to give you the house. It's your house. So don't worry about it. Let's go eat. What? That's God, my dear friend. It's called favor. One preacher said, favor ain't fair. It may not be, but it's fair to me. It's good to me. I would have never accomplished in my life. I would have never experienced many things in my life. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now in the position that God has me in right now doing what I'm doing if it had not been for the mercy, grace, and favor and blessings of God on my life. And you can't be proud and get it. You can't be blowing up against God talking about, God, so-and-so, you seem like you love them better than you love me, more than you love me. You show favor to them and so forth. It seems like everything goes their way. And I need some of that favor too. Give me some of that favor. Wrong approach. Wrong approach, my dear friend. Because you've lost your mind. You're not talking right. You're not talking right. Whenever you start talking about so-and-so, they did it, how can they be so blessed? If you got that kind of attitude and spirit, look at them. They did this and that. How can they have that? How can they be doing that? You go to God with that attitude, or you have that kind of attitude, that prideful attitude, it's not going to work for you. The prideful take no thought for those who are of lower station than themselves. No thought. They can care less about those who are poorer than they are. In fact, instead, they oppress them. They kick them while they're down. They have no interest in trying to help them up. See, and by the way, this is the reason why we have the mess going on in this country. This is the richest country in the history of the world. And through this plague / pandemic, we're seeing the country do things that they could have done a long time ago. But they didn't want to do it. Because there are people who are high up. They want a poor, low class. They want to keep it that way. Black and white, by the way. That's right. Red and yellow. Mm-hmm. The prideful people are all in cahoots. And they are all about oppressing the poor and keeping them down. Furthermore, they bless those who are covetous. They bless each other. Whereas God despises their avarice, greed. I mean, really, truly. Really, truly. See, watch this. Gates. I know you think he's a nice man, and I believe he is a nice man. And they're giving away a lot of money. Facebook owner. Twitter on all the people. Really, truly, now, what are you going to do with $1 billion? And you got $155 billion, $200 billion. Owner of Amazon. Amazon ought to send free stuff out for the next 5 years to everybody. They know what you like, and they ought to send you what you like, and it wouldn't hurt them one bit. What are you going to do with $155 billion? You don't have enough time. And we got folks right now standing in food lines, sitting in food lines for a box of food. When Mr. Bezos can put a chicken in every pot in America, plus some potatoes and some vegetables every day. He ought to be just sending out checks. We don't need to be waiting on the government. We got billionaires and almost trillion. He's almost a trillionaire. The first trillionaire. What? Yeah. See, but because of pride, people won't do it. Greed. They're greedy. And there are thousands of folks who are billionaires. They can give you a year's salary, and it'd be like giving you $15. Not only that, all the guys I just named, plus many more, they can employ everybody in America at home. We want this family to put together 5 Kindles a week or 3 Kindles a week. We're going to pull all of our iPhones and everything out of China, because evidently they're trying to kill us. Anyway, we're going to pull all of our iPhones out of China, and we're going to let the American families have their own company set up in their own name. And we're going to hire out, and by the end of the year, we want to see 300, 400, 500 iPhones and iPads and mini iPads and computers put together by families. See, people in America, they want to work. Most people in America want to work. So, and they know that, and they can get the jobs. They can give us the jobs. Give each family a job, and everybody sit around the table and build an iPhone and get paid. You say, well, how about quality control? Well, they can do that through Zoom. They can have an eye on you while you're doing it if they want to. But see, because of pride, they don't want to do stuff like that. This is why the White House is not thinking about getting people to work at home. We got the White House up here talking about getting people to go back to their jobs, and they're dying at the job. That's why we left the job. Dr. Fauci just said today, what's going to happen is we're going to have 100 cases a day. I mean, 100,000 cases a day. That's a potential 100,000 people dead a day eventually. That's what Dr. Fauci said. It's that bad. Everywhere you look, the newspaper editors and journalists are saying the outbreak now in certain places like Houston, in Texas, Arizona, Georgia, Florida, especially Florida and Texas and Arizona, is uncontrollable. See, when people start using the word uncontrollable, we are in trouble, people. Understand, okay? Understand. We don't need to be going trying to go out to work somewhere. Where? For what? All companies need to shut down. All the fast food restaurants, including Chick-fil-A, ought to shut down now while they have a chance. Because they're going to get the coronavirus disease and they're going to give it to other people. And then horror of horrors. It was reported, some of you have not heard this yet. It was reported in the news today, this morning. another potential pandemic is coming out of China right now, connected to the swine flu. And when they tell you that much, that means you better get ready. It's coming. Here comes something else. And this is what I've tried to tell y'all from the get-go. To use my dad's word and my mom's word. They found that word in New York. They didn't get that from down in the country. We're from the South, but we got to go to New York first and come back. From the get-go. That's a New York term. Got to be. From the get-go. This is what I've been trying to tell you. That you can talk about getting rid of this all you want to. You're not, until God says so. And we're not repenting fast enough. That's why this thing is exploding. But something worse can come after that. Even if you quote unquote got rid of it. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in the most condemning statement, David says that the pride of the wicked causes them to refuse to seek after God. Not only are they oppressive of the people, and they like it so, what are you going to do with $1 trillion, Mr. Bezos? Not only are you going to reach $1 trillion, but you're going to be able to keep on making it. That's the thing. Amazon, everybody gets Amazon, man. Poor people, rich people, everybody buys stuff from Amazon. Did you know that 60 to 70% of the people on your street get packages from Amazon? On your street. They're not going anywhere. What are you going to do with $1 trillion? What are you going to do with $1 billion? What are you going to do with millions of dollars? You need to give it away directly to the people. Especially now. You ought to contact Kroger's, contact HEB, contact Walmart, and say, listen here, we're going to give y'all $1 million. And the first 100,000 people walk in there, whatever they buy, I want to pay for it. Don't charge them nothing. It's already paid for. Up until $1 million. And then let me know when that's exhausted. Don't tell nobody nothing. Don't invite anybody. Don't act like you're giving out some kind of gifts. This is from me. When they get to the cash register, you just give them a receipt. And say, Mr. Bezos paid for this for you. Not only do they reject God, not only do they oppress the poor, these wicked, proud people, listen to me very carefully now. God is not even in their thoughts. Any of their thoughts. Not just all of their thoughts. Any of their thoughts. These are the proud, arrogant ones in the world. Oftentimes they're rich. Jesus dealt with this when he was here. Jesus talked about how hard it is for a rich man to get saved. It's hard. Go try to witness to a rich man, a really rich man who's got millions, billions. It'll be hard. He's not going to listen to you in most cases. Their prideful attitude, which leads them to not seek after God, will lead them to oppress other people, keep other people down when they can help them up, and then eventually lead them to hell. And I have a whole lot more to say about this, but this is going to probably be a part two, and maybe even a part three. And so with my mentioning how that the rich man who oppresses people, who despises God and does not even have God in all of his thoughts, how that he's going to end up going to hell with all of his riches. The first story and the only story that Jesus told about a man going to hell, a true story, not a parable, was Mr. Dives, and the Bible calls him a rich man. He was proud and arrogant, and so proud and so arrogant. See, this prideful, arrogant spirit is in these people because of the power that they think they have in money. He was so proud and arrogant, he didn't want the crumbs to be given to the poor man begging, the beggar. Mr. Dives is his name. That's what they've been calling him traditionally down through the years. Mr. Dives. He dived right into hell too. And he's in hell today. He was rich. The Bible says he fared sumptuously every day. That means he fared prosperously every day. Anything he wanted, anything his heart could wish, he had it in this life. But for some reason, he hated the poor. For some reason, he didn't want the poor beggar to have the crumbs that fell from his table. The dogs came and had showed more compassion than Mr. Dives, Mr. Rich Man. It's a strange phenomenon. Try to get some money from a rich man. They got form letters, buddy, that'll they'll slap you, send back to you and slap you upside your head. Pride. They think they're better than others. They don't think they're a part of the human condition. Bill Gates' daughter said yesterday, "I was born into privilege, into white privilege." At least she acknowledges that. But some people won't even acknowledge it and won't use their riches to help others. Thank God for the few who do. Are you a part of that number? I'm talking to you too today. But I'm talking to many, many people who are not rich. And you need to understand that God allows, Jesus said that the poor will be with you. God allows that to happen because he knows how destructive, prideful, wealth is, and how that being rich leads to pride and the damning of the soul. I cannot explain that phenomenon. Jesus dealt with it when he was here. God has dealt with it for years in the scriptures. So if you're that way, you need to humble yourself. And you need to repent and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if you were to die right now, you would go to hell. Hell awaits you. There are many rich people in hell, by the way. And so, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sins, if you were to die today, you know that you would go to hell. Because you're proud and arrogant and stubborn and you have oppressed other people, wanting to keep them under you. Because the Bible says, by the way, even for the poor, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody, from the rich to the poor to the rich. Red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in God's sight. And by the way, we as Christian preachers need to stay right there. Red, yellow, black, and white. Everybody. Everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white matter to God. We represent God. I don't care if you like it, a lump it, a choke on it. Red, yellow, black, and white. All right with God. They all matter to God. And so we as gospel preachers, be we red, yellow, black, and white, need to focus on red, yellow, black, and white. Everybody is dying and going to hell, and they need to be saved. Y'all can talk about all of this other stuff and discuss all this when you get to heaven if you want to, down on Hallelujah Boulevard in the corner of Amen on the golden streets, so pure. They're transparent. what? I don't think we're going to be talking about that on the golden streets that are transparent gold. But that's where we got to stand. Red, yellow, black, and white boulevard, all matter to God. As a Christian, I'm black. I'm naturally concerned about black people. But as a Christian, I'm naturally concerned, supernaturally concerned about all people. All people matter. You say, so you're not down with the cause. No, I guess I'm not. I'm down with the cause of Christ. And all people that I'm talking to right now, I'm talking to black people, white people, red people, yellow people, all around the globe. Right now as I speak, our first service had over 5,000 devices. I spoke to over 60,000 devices, which when I say devices, that means that's all we're counting is the device. That they may be having a watch party behind the device of 20, 30 people. I don't know. I could have spoken to 1 million people this past weekend. This was on Sunday. I would imagine there's anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 right now listening to me. And they're all different colors. I'm not just preaching to black people. I'm preaching to everybody. The rich and the poor. The red, the yellow, the black, and the white. Everybody needs to do what Jesus told Nicodemus one night. Ye must be born again. You must be born again. You need to believe in me, Jesus Christ said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It can't be any plainer, put any plainer than that. Nobody preached the gospel purer than Jesus Christ himself, who is the gospel. For God so loved the world. That means that God loves everybody, red, yellow, black, and white. No matter what you've done in your life. You might be in prison. You might have killed somebody. You might be in a halfway house. You might be on skid row. God loves you. And yes, people on skid row, they have a cell phone and they can listen. Thank God. God loves you. Make no mistake about it. God loves you just as much as he loves the president, or loves the governor, or loves anybody who's rich, well-to-do, or whatever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived a holy, perfect life. He never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. On top of that, he walked on the water. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He fed 5,000 with a few fishes and a couple of loaves of bread. He is God in the flesh. Another name for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God walked among us. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and died for us. He suffered because of our sins. He bled because of our sins. He died because of our sins as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He is the sacrificial Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, who took away the sin of the world, your sin and mine. He was buried after he died, and he rose again on the third day by the power of God. His name is Jesus. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means you will not go to hell if you believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible. Jesus Christ described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ said that hell is a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is bad news. Hell awaits you if you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be you red, yellow, black, or white. But have everlasting life if you believe in Christ today. And today is the only day you have. Tomorrow is not promised to you. Especially now. Because we're all under the threat of death. Every last one of us in this country and in this world. Hell awaits you if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven awaits you if you believe in Christ. It is as simple as that. You don't have to be in the church to be saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to sign a card. You don't have to line up for baptism to be saved. You don't have to speak in tongues or shout or jump or run around the church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to do any good works for the church or for anybody else to be saved. None of those things will save you anyway. They're good things to do after you get saved. But they will not save your soul. There's only one way to be saved, and Jesus told you how. Believe in Him. Believe in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him, that word believeth means have faith in Him, have trust in Him, put your trust in Him. That's it. Nobody else. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, if you want to be saved today, nobody's going to make you. God is not going to make you. He didn't make me get saved. And just understand that if you don't believe in Christ, you will go to hell when you die. And you will spend eternity there. If you believe in Christ, you will go to heaven when you die. And you will spend eternity there. The choice is yours. Believe in Christ today. Pray and ask Him to save you. If you don't know how to pray the prayer, the sinner's prayer, you make sure you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And I will help you with the prayer. Follow me in prayer. Follow me in calling on His name. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. And you're basically praying from your heart what you're believing. You're believing in Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I admit it. I admit that I have lied before. I admit that I've stolen things before. I admit that I have coveted and lusted after people and things before in my life. I admit that I have dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my parents. I admit that I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain, even with cursing. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Help me to be humble. And help me to forsake my pride. I understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. So, Holy Father God, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart and into my spirit to save my soul. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. I understand that I don't deserve it. I understand that I can't work for it, because you have paid my sin debt in full. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your holy name, Lord Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in Jesus Christ, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell according to the Bible. If you just believed in Jesus and you called on His name, and you're on your way to heaven. I can say that with confidence because that's what God did for me. That's what Jesus did for me some 40 plus years ago. Number one. Number two, I can say that with confidence because I believe what the Bible says to be true. I have no doubt about it. And you shouldn't either. So welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9, in fact, you can download my book with the same title, free of charge, free of charge. You'll never be asked for any money, free of charge. Download it to your device right now and read it. It will tell you how to grow in the faith. Because Jesus Christ said in St. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.